Why would I make them so uncomfortable?
It probably has to do with your reputation. They feel your methods, your theories are...
spooky? Do you think I'm spooky?
His face was so blank and expressionless. He didn't even seem human.
I'm not turning my back on anyone!
Have you ever found a metal implant in your body? Have you checked everywhere?
Mulder, you have to understand!
Put it down!
You put it down first!
Scully!
Yeah!
Oh boy.
Okay.
Hi everybody.
Hello everybody.
Welcome to Fox Mulder is a Maniac.
FMIAM.
Those are the letters that make up the title.
They are. Yeah.
Yeah. I am one of your hosts, David Bell.
I'm your other host, Tom Ryman.
Folks, this is a free episode. Normally, these are
Freepsode.
Patreon
Freepsode.
Yeah. Normally, we make these exclusive to our Patreon.
Yeah. We like to toss some coins out onto the street every now and then.
Yeah, we want to give you a taste. We want to give you a little itty-bitty taste.
We like to feed the ducks every now and then.
Yeah, we also, this is actually part one to a part two X-Files episode. Yeah. So we're giving you a little tease, but,
it's a little nefarious on our part, actually.
Yeah, a little nefarious. We're kind of...
only slightly nefarious.
We're kind of terrible. We're being kind of naughty. A little naughty. So if you don't know this show, we are rewatching The X-Files. In the order, chronological order, in the order the episodes came out.
Mm-hmm.
And we're looking at them specifically through a lens of just how absolute Looney Tunes Agent Mulder is. When you actually stand back from it, and you actually think of him like a law enforcement agent, there's a lot wrong. There's a lot wrong going on.
It is alarming.
Alarming is a good word for it. Yeah. It has been very alarming. We are currently up to season 2, episode 16, otherwise known as Colony.
Sweet 16.
This is, if people don't know, if you're not big into X-Files, this is a pretty big episode.
This is a major episode, yeah.
Yeah, this is the introduction of the alien bounty hunter.
We already knew the clones, right? That's from the end of...
yeah.
That's from the Erlenmeyer flask, I think.
Yeah, this is the clones in action. And another big part of this is the first episode of the return of Samantha, Mulder's sister.
Yeah.
The person that he has been, until this moment, hunting, looking for, beating up aliens, and asking them, where's my sister?
Yeah, shrieking into the void, trying to catch ghosts in plastic bags, just doing whatever he can, kicking werewolves in their buttholes, just shouting, where's my sister, into the fat gibbous moon as it hangs over his head. That's been the entire driving force of his investigative career.
Yep. This is also
the
first...
We should say Mulder's sister. Can you hear the air quotes?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, yeah. Spoilers.
Well, fine.
Spoilers. She is his sister in this.
Yeah.
If you've only watched The X-Files up until this point, it's his sister, right?
Yeah, for all intents and purposes, yes, that's accurate.
This is actually the first episode to be told in a flashback.
Right. They go all Sunset Boulevard on us.
Yeah. It begins with Mulder being dragged into a hospital with shit all over his face. And Scully's you're going to kill him.
Being flown into a military hospital.
Yeah. Which this isn't the first time Mulder has been dumped somewhere with shit all over his face, which we'll get to.
Nor is it the first time that he's been wheeled into the underbelly of a military facility while strapped to a gurney.
Very true. Fun fact about this, according to the official guide to the X-Files that I am holding in my hand, I actually knew this fact.
Clutching in your meat hooks.
Yeah, I'm a big nerd, so I actually knew this fact already, is that one of the more iconic things in this episode is the alien bounty hunter's stiletto.
Yes.
His alien stiletto. and it's a single, like, it looks like a giant pin that flicks out. And I know that they did that by, like, pumping air into the prop, but that's not what I want to talk about. The sound, the iconic sound of it coming out, mm-hmm. was created by co-producer Paul Rabwin. When they were trying to figure out how to do the effect, he just went to a microphone and went into the microphone, just made the sound, and that's what we're hearing. It's just some guy's mouth.
That's pretty funny.
Yeah, it's pretty great.
And yeah, and you can kind of tell about as far as the effect, because every time you see the stiletto, it's the tip, the bottom edge of it is concealed by the person's shirt cuff.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, there's an air hose.
Yeah. 100%. That person, by the way, Brian Thompson. The pilot. He's credited as pilot in this. Uh-huh. Because I wanted to just talk about a few things not Mulder related.
Mm-hmm.
For one, it takes place in Scranton, or briefly.
Part of it does, yeah.
For all you Office fans. Mm-hmm. But also, the alien bounty hunter kind of sucks. I didn't notice it before because he's sent to Earth to hunt clones.
Oh, are we going to talk about this here? Because I think I've made the same note.
Okay, I just figured because this isn't about Mulder.
This would be like Alien Bounty Hunter After Dark.
Yes. So, I mean, why not start with that?
Sure.
Because he has to... All right, his mission is to go to Earth mm-hmm. and assassinate scientists, I assume discreetly. He shapeshifts into things. Mm-hmm. First thing he does is crash into the ocean and get on the news.
That's a solid start.
Yeah.
Related to that, his face is just on the news.
His face is on the news right at the beginning.
Like, who's there filming that? Like, they get like a glamour shot, like a super close up.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a hero shot.
It's like when they have the pictures of the doctors in this, and one of them's clearly a headshot for the actor.
Yeah.
Yep.
They couldn't take enough incidental photo. They didn't have enough costume changes.
Yeah, of those Gregors.
Of all those Gregors. Related to that, the thing that stuck out to me, did you write this one down? You must have.
I don't know.
Oh, was that your only point? Was that he crashes into the ocean?
No, I have another question about him.
Oh, okay. This alien bounty hunter tasked with interplanetary assassination.
I think we're going into the same place. All right.
Sent from beyond the stars.
Yep. Yep.
Lands on Earth, and to find his prey,
there we go,
to track his quarry, he puts out an ad in the newspaper.
He sure does. He gets a phone number. He puts out an ad with a picture of the scientist that says, "Have you seen this man?" and a phone number. He could not, like, the part of this plot is that the clones are all in hiding. And the reason they're in hiding, one of them, they show one of them at the beginning watching the news, and they see the alien bounty hunter, and they're like, oh, shit.
Oh,
and
fuck, like, I gotta get out of here.
Yeah, and, like, it's the opposite of discreet.
And he puts out a Craigslist ad to track these guys.
Fucking ad.
Like, he is an alien from fucking space, like, I don't know, another dimension, like I said. Beyond the stars. He doesn't have a tracking device. He doesn't got radar, no, like, sophisticated, like, sonar or locators or anything like that. He comes here with cash and puts out an ad in a newspaper with cash.
Yep. He sure does. He went
to
the bank.
That's his plan.
The other alien on the ship was like, here's a bunch of cash.
Right.
How do I find them? I don't know. Just ask around.
He crash landed on Earth with a per diem.
Yeah. In fairness, to his defense, if you were sent to an alien planet to hunt other aliens,
I'd want
to
be loaded with a fanny. Yeah, I'd want to be loaded with a fanny pack full of that planet's ducats for sure.
Well, yeah, but I also think just in like being the people we are, maybe his technology isn't that great, so he lands and it's like, no, I don't have a tracker, so I guess I have to get creative here.
Yeah,
but it does feel like he's doing the shit work for his alien species. Like, they send him down there to clean up, and he's just such a dumbass that he was like, I don't know, fucking.
Oh, I mean, yeah, he's absolutely a cleaner.
Yeah, and also, he probably didn't get a telephone number. He probably used a payphone, and so he probably hung out by a payphone for, mm-hmm. like, days.
Well, it was it. They say that it's a message box.
Oh, you're right. Okay.
So he really just got it. So he can access it from anywhere.
God,
he just gotta
imagine
enter the code.
Working at a newspaper and that motherfucker comes in.
That guy, Brian Thompson, who played, we mentioned before, he plays Shao Kahn in Mortal Kombat Annihilation.
Yeah, he's also a punk in Terminator.
Punk and Terminator.
He is the first person to be killed by a Terminator in the whole series.
In history, yes.
Yeah.
He is a man who looks like his skull is forcing its way through his face.
Yeah, he was cast because he looks like an alien.
Right. He is an incredible looking person.
He looks like a gray alien that just started working out a bunch.
Right. Just a fucking jacked, swole alien. So yeah. It's like... The point is he has one of the most memorable faces I have ever seen in my life.
But he also
that dude walked in and was like, I need to find this balding man.
He also clearly doesn't have like resources. Like we said, technology. So he probably is like sleeping in his car.
Or wherever. I mean, he's probably spent a lot of time that he sleeps.
Yeah. He must have some downtime. I'm just wondering, imagine interacting with him in any capacity, but especially him walking in being like, I'd like to place an ad, and then giving you the cash, and you're like, okay, is this all you want? Do you want any information? It's like, no, this'll do. And it's you want any cool graphics? And trying to upsell him to color?
Can you imagine all of that, and on top of the fact that the ad he has handed you is a photograph of what appears to be a middle school principal.
Yes.
With the text, have you seen this man?
Yeah, you must have asked questions to that guy.
I'm sorry, are you trying to track down a missing shoe salesman? What?
So weird.
I could talk for 3 hours about the alien bounty.
We might have to do a whole different podcast
about the alien bounty.
Because he is a fascinating character, and we're gonna get to a point, not in this one, but like slowly he gets annoyed with Mulder, which is fantastic. And I think he thinks humans are a bunch of chuckle fucks by the end of all this.
Oh, yeah. Well, it becomes clear, particularly in part two of this, but it's a little clear in this episode where it's like he either has it's a bit of both. He has vast reserves of patience.
Yep.
And he doesn't like he really doesn't is not worried about human beings at all.
Mm-hmm. Well, here's this is kind of a spoiler. Interesting detail is that. I believe the episode is called The Unnatural.
Is this the baseball one?
It's the baseball one directed by David Duchovny.
Yeah, of course.
That takes place in the past.
Yep.
Where there's segregated baseball. And we find out that an alien is disguised as a black baseball player. And we find that out by a scene where they're playing baseball and the Ku Klux Klan shows up. To lynch the alien, and the other fans and the people, the community, like basically throw balls at them and knock them off. And the reveal is that they're aliens under their robes. They're the bounty hunter specifically is using the disguise of a Klansman to hunt down this other alien. I think it's the same bounty hunter because it's the same actor.
he must be the same guy.
He's clearly full of all sorts of ideas.
That doesn't make sense, though.
No, I assume maybe they all just... It's a race of aliens that take the disguise of the bounty hunter. Like, that's their default.
Well, I mean, the fact that they're alien clones on the planet doesn't make sense.
It's not an alien clone. It's a reticulan. It's a gray.
Oh, it's a gray. Okay.
That's later in the series.
We're deep
shit,
in the mythology at that point.
Yeah, and shit's got very out of control at that point.
Yeah.
As evidenced by everything I've described.
Yes.
My point is that, these bounty hunters, they do seem somewhat concerned later in the series, but maybe that's a different bounty hunter. We don't know. In terms of this episode, it's also the first Skinner episode in what feels like forever.
He's been out of it ever since he reinstated the X-Files.
Yeah, so it's nice to see him again.
Yeah, it's always nice to see Skin Man.
Yeah, any notes about the episode in general?
I mean, we talked a lot about the alien bounty hunter, which I think was most of it. Let me check.
Okay.
Sa-da-doo-doo-ow.
I mean,
oh, this episode takes place around my birthday. We see one of the obituaries Mulder gets sent is January 10th, 1995. My birthday is January 11th.
What age? What were you turning?
In 1995, 12.
Happy 12th birthday, Tom. Past Tom.
Thanks. Good. Scream it at the TV when you watch this episode. Yep. I'll hear you.
Everybody do it.
In the past, I will hear you.
Yep. You want to get into World's Luckiest Detective?
I'd love to get into World's Luckiest Detective.
All right, guys. This is actually our first section. We've been talking a lot just about that fucking bounty hunter.
He's a fascinating character, and I love him.
He is amazing. This is where we go through just how lucky Mulder is for a lot of these episodes. He's not a very good detective.
No, he's usually very bad.
Yes, and things just sort of fall into his lap. For example, this case comes by him just getting an email.
Yeah, he gets a random email.
By the clones.
Just with three obituaries. One of the clones mails him, sends it to him, we find out later. But it's just three obituaries that don't seem to be connected other than the fact that all three victims are identical.
Yep, the victims have to message Mulder themselves to get his attention.
Also, do they all work at Planned Parenthood clinics?
I think so. I think the idea is they're trying to do clone stuff. And
yeah,
I think
like
they need access
to embryos. Yeah.
So like maybe there's a failure one that works at like, I don't know, a Subway.
I hope so.
Yeah.
He does kind of look like the guy from the Subway sandwich artist commercials. You remember from the 90s?
No, Jared?
There was kind of there. No. That was like one of the. It was an early series of commercials of Subway where like the sandwich artist was like a kind of a shorter, like a short, fat, bald guy with a mustache. This guy kind of looks like that.
Was
anyway,
it? Were they
I'm
trying
glad.
To do the like time to make the donuts guy? This
kind of yeah. He looks like the time to make the donuts guy.
Okay, yeah. And so Mulder shows up at the police station, and they've already done all the work. The cops, they're like, yeah, we have a suspect.
Yeah.
And they talk to this like anti-abortion religious nut who then I think leads them to the newspaper that he got the ad.
Right. He has a newspaper clipping for reasons that are never explained.
You're right.
Like, I understand that he's like he's a reverend. Like he's protested the abortion clinic where one of the clones was working at before. But it doesn't make any sense. Like, he never explains why he would have cut out that ad and kept it in his pocket.
Right, because if he was going to answer the ad, he could just call the phone number. Because he knows who the guy is.
Oh, that's the implication, yeah, that he called the number.
Right, but he still wouldn't cut it out and bring it around with him. I don't know.
Yeah, maybe he just still had it in his pocket, but that's weird.
Mm-hmm. There's no weird way for that to
It
would have
taken like a day or two for the alien bounty hunter to get there.
Yeah.
So he's still just hanging up. Maybe he's calling it every day.
Maybe. Also, lucky for Mulder that the bad guy, the alien bounty hunter, put out a want ad.
Yeah.
We've talked about this already a lot, but
And then contacts Mulder directly, disguised as a CIA agent, because he's like, well, I can get my job. I can get my work done way faster.
Yep.
Because these clones have contacted Mulder. So if I just convince Mulder I'm a CIA agent, shouldn't be too hard.
Yeah, everything comes to Mulder. They get more emails from the clones telling them where more twins are.
Right, because they can't find them fast enough.
Yeah, they're just like, Jesus, this guy sucks. I thought this guy was supposed to be good. All right, send him more emails. He's lucky that multiple people are looking for these clones. Everything comes to Mulder. His sister shows up at his house.
Mm-hmm.
They can't get his attention enough.
No.
They send him email after email and he's not figuring it out. So they have to fucking send his sister, what he thinks is his sister, over. Meanwhile, Scully's doing all the work. Scully's the incredulous one. Or not incredulous. She's the one who's like, and we'll get to this in Mulder After Dark, but she's the one who seems to be figuring everything out. She steps in the goo, figures out the goo.
Yeah. Well, she's suspicious of the CIA agent from the start.
Yeah, which I don't know why Mulder isn't.
Because Mulder is dazzled by people like that.
That's true.
Like, remember he refused to believe that the astronaut guy was involved because he just fucking loves astronauts so much.
But the CIA is like,
who? But it's like kind of cool.
All right, I don't know. Yeah, in Mulder After Dark, I have a big question about this.
Sure. But yeah, Scully's the one who finds all the doctors and then gets them into police protective custody while Mulder's like dicking around at home with his sister.
Yep. She uses her little thief fanny pack and breaks into that warehouse.
Mm-hmm.
Takes all the
Scully's
clones.
Killing it in this episode.
She takes all the clones into custody and shit. Like, she's doing everything.
Right. And it's like she doesn't know what the fuck is going on. This is like one of the primary differences between Mulder and Scully. She doesn't understand what's going on, doesn't believe the CIA agent's story that these are clones created by the Soviet Union.
Yeah, an army of Gregors. They're called Gregors.
An army of Gregors. Yeah, yeah. Yeah. That they were sent here to like disrupt America's, he says, like to destroy America's immune system by like disrupting hospitals and pharmaceutical things and shit.
One look at these guys, you don't think Russian military, like army. Like, if the Russians are going to clone dudes...
No, but that's kind of the point of spies.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair.
Spies never look like Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Yeah, and if you wanted a group of people that look all, like, the same in the 90s, like a balding middle-aged dude with glasses, I feel like...
That's a solid pick.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe that's just because of movies, but, like, I've seen so many of them.
Oh, yeah. No. That dude melts into a crowd.
Yeah.
Like...
100%.
You couldn't pick that guy out of a lineup if he was standing next to you.
Yeah. But yeah, Mulder, everybody just is waving their arms in the air being like, "Hey Mulder."
Yeah.
"Come over here."
My point was the main difference between Scully and Mulder is that Scully doesn't understand what's happening. She doesn't believe the CIA agent's story, but She obviously can tell that all these men look alike and that they're all in danger of being murdered. And it's not even that they all look alike. She just is acting on the fact like that they're all clearly being targeted by somebody. So she just proceeds with a normal investigation based on that. Like, yes. She's not worried about, I need to get to the bottom of this and figure out who these clones are, Scully.
And here's
like, no. Let's round them all up and make sure that nobody murders them, and then we can figure it out.
Right. And I was going to talk about this in Mulder After Dark, but this goes into the detective stuff. A group of people are being murdered. Someone put out a newspaper ad.
Yep.
And that person goes to Mulder and claims to be a CIA agent, and is like, I put out the ad. I'm also coincidentally looking for these guys who are also being killed. And Mulder's like, oh, let's work together. And not the obvious thing, which is, I wonder if this guy is killing them.
Like, right, I wonder if he's the murderer.
Yeah, which is what Scully immediately gloms onto. She's like, he's probably the one murdering these people, Mulder.
Yeah.
I want to get to the next section for that reason, unless you have anything else.
Yeah, I don't have anything else in Luckiest Detective.
All right, folks, you know what time
Guys,
it is.
Get out some... some tubs of
lube,
light
cheap
butter
lube.
And lube,
just
98% fat-free butter.
Yep,
Land O'Lakes.
Yep, rub it everywhere.
Every place where your every crotch on your body,
yep.
every part in your body that forms a V.
Yep, you know what? Rub it on.
Rub that butter in there.
Any awnings? That's the crotch of the house.
That's true.
Yeah,
all the corners of the house.
Yeah, rub it everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
It's time to glide into Mulder After Dark. Oh.
Slipping and sliding.
It's good. It's real good.
A splishing and a splashing.
A splishing and a splashing. This is the question. Because
yes.
Who does Mulder think is the evil government? If not the CIA?
I don't know. Okay. Mulder is a little boy. We've discussed this many times.
Yes.
I think Mulder is dazzled by the idea of a detective or an investigator in a superior agency being on the same trail as him.
Yes. There's certain... Because the episode Space, we've talked about this. In Space, Mulder... participates in a government cover-up.
He sure does, and he will do so later as well.
Yes, and he does that in Space because he just likes astronauts.
Right. He loves NASA too much.
Yeah. And his, the idea of like everybody deserves to know the truth, and the government NASA cover up was about the existence of aliens. The thing he spent his whole life trying to prove.
Yes.
But he is
accurate.
But there are rocket ships and his heroes, and so he just goes along with it, and we just continue the series like that didn't happen.
Yeah, no, he got a little NASA ball cap and a little toy shuttle.
He did.
He played with that all the way back to Washington.
Uh-huh.
Well, not even that. Yeah.
Scully drove. He sat in the back seat. Yeah. So in this one, he meets a CIA
guy.
Getting
ready to do a spacewalk, Commander Scully.
Yeah. He meets a CIA guy who tells him it's Russian clones.
Yes.
Not aliens. Not the thing he's rock hard about. And Mulder just believes this guy immediately. Mm-hmm. He later does a background check, but he believes him in the room when he meets
him. Yes. Right, because he divulges their information.
Yeah, is it because...
Like, we're looking for a guy, and here he is.
Yeah, is it because he's just never gotten clones before? So he's just like, ooh, this is new.
No, he has. Eve 6.
Oh, yeah. So, yeah, what the fuck? Why is he trusting this guy? Because he knows the government, our government, makes clones. And this guy mm-hmm. shows up and he's like, they're Russian clones. Yeah.
He's encountered clones. Well, not... did he encounter them in Earl and Meyer Flask? Or did he just... He just encountered hybrids.
Yeah, he just
got... Not any actual clones. Then he got his fucking eyes melted shut.
Yeah, he just got his eyes melted and dumped out of a van.
Oh, God. This episode begins with Mulder naked, frozen, and with his mm-hmm. eyes burned shut.
Yep. And in the middle, he is struck by a car.
I have that in all caps in my notes, is that Mulder gets hit by a car that he fucking sees.
He's like a cat.
He sees that car.
He's so excited. He runs into the road. He doesn't look.
He gallops into the road.
Yeah. He's like a fucking deer because he's totally fine at going into World's Luckiest Detective. He's just like, oh, I just got the wind knocked out of me. And meanwhile, that person in the car is like, this motherfucker, he saw me, right?
Right. He exploded that dude's windshield. Yeah. Like, he sees, he makes eye contact with the driver.
And you know he didn't stick around there. He probably got back and ran away.
No, no. He maybe gave the guy a business card. Saying, here, call the bureau. They'll fix your windshield.
Skinner's going to... That's going to come back to Skinner and be like, I'm sorry. He got... What happened?
He got hit by a car and ran from the scene?
He's going to knock on Mulder's basement door and be like, hi, are you okay? Do you need a hospital? Are you bleeding internally? Because... You should probably find out, Mulder.
Oh, are you bleeding internally is a loaded question.
Hmm.
I don't know. Maybe.
Maybe. Yeah, no, this is how fucking, I think the lead singer of Dead Boys died. He got hit by a car, didn't mm-hmm. seek medical attention, and then died that night in his sleep.
Yeah.
Because when you get hit by a car, go to the hospital.
Yeah, it's a couple of thousand pounds smashing into your skeleton. Yeah,
but Mulder doesn't go to the hospital. At least we don't see him going to the hospital.
He does not go to the hospital. Mulder, I guarantee Mulder is afraid of doctors.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Mulder has a wild distrust for the medical community.
I wouldn't, if I was a doctor. Well, we've seen him scream at doctors many times. We know this. We know when Scully gets back from her abduction, Mulder walks into the hospital and starts screaming at the doctors as if they're the aliens.
Whereas, walks in is a gentle way to describe
it. Yeah, and he's like,
well,
how did she get here? And it's like, Mulder, you know how hospitals work, but apparently not. Mulder has, I'm sure on several occasions, been given morphine and ended up like sucker punching a doctor while screaming, where's my sister?
Oh, for sure.
Oh my God. Yeah, that car is something.
The car was incredible. He saw it.
Yeah.
Like he sees the car. He sees the traffic that he's running into.
He's too excited. He's like, I have a new CIA friend and he's into me. He seems into me.
Like he's in full stride.
Yeah.
Just
well, there's also we're skipping
slacks
around.
Slacks billowing.
The part
as he runs into the street.
The part where Mulder, because what happens, what's leading up into this is they go to see another clone, and the clone is clearly afraid of the CIA. agent.
Yes.
And Mulder and being
dives
as
through the window.
Yeah, as thick as he is, he's just like, what are you doing? We're okay. There's nothing to be afraid of. And again, Scully's just like, this guy is clearly evil. The clone just ran from him. Mulder doesn't notice that at all.
The clone jumped through a fourth story window.
He sure
to
did.
Get away from him.
And Mulder runs up to the window. It's like a dog. Yep. It's like a dog. It's like hearing a dog's thoughts, because he runs up, he sees the guy get up, and Mulder, like, in his robotic voice, just goes, he's moving. He's getting up. And then just runs out the door into the street and gets hit by a car. He's just so into the moment. He's so wrapped up in everything. Meanwhile, Scully is sitting there like, yeah, he clearly ran from our CIA friend.
Yeah, from our creepy ass friend.
Yeah.
This episode begins with voiceover from Mulder, and there's 2 points I want to make about this.
I have it written down. Do you have it verbatim? I can say it.
I don't have it verbatim, but if you want to lay it on us,
the first lines of the episode is, I have lived with a fragile faith built on the ether of vague memories from an experience that I could neither prove nor explain. Because he's an edgelord. That's what I have written down.
That's some live journal shit. Oh, there's even more.
Oh, yeah.
The part I was talking about, he says his sister was taken by a force, and he says that I came to believe was extraterrestrial. And then he spends a couple of like a little bit talking about how that belief has shaped everything he's done. And how the belief has, like, basically ruined his life, like shattered relationships, become the obsession of his work. It's shaped everything he's done. So, like, this episode opens with Mulder seemingly recognizing that he doesn't even know anything factual about what happened. Like, he has no facts about that aliens took his sister. He just believes that it's aliens.
Right. It's also his inner monologue while he's dying, I'm pretty sure.
That's the other point I wanted
to make. Okay. So I think this is Mulder realizing he's going to die and just spewing this shit.
But who is this for? That, like, it's, so he's like, and if I should die now, I'll die content in the knowledge that I was right or whatever. And I was like, so is this his internal, like, is he imagining that he's writing, like, a final powerful journal entry, like, as his brain is dying?
I think,
like,
so.
What's happening?
I want to skip ahead because I think there's a big piece of the puzzle here that comes later, which is when Mulder meets his dad. And he says, what is it, Dad? His dad has called him for an emergency. He's established that his mom's fine and he's fine. Mulder has no idea what he's there for, and no one's told him anything.
No.
Mulder shows up and goes, what is it, Dad? Mulder's father lights a cigarette and answers, the certainty becomes a comfort that allows you to move on. We bury our memories so deep after all that has been destroyed, never expecting. And it occurred to me, oh, that's why Mulder talks the way he talks.
That's wrong with Mulder. And, like, when Mulder walks up to him, like, he goes for a handshake and then kind of a half hug.
Yeah.
And then because he's not sure what to do. And then Mulder's dad puts out a very awkwardly situated, aimed hand for him to shake. Like, everything, so much about Mulder is explained in that exchange.
Oh, 100%.
He asks his dad what the family emergency is that they called Skinner. Like, Skinner calls Mulder into his office and is like, your mom has been calling. She says it's an emergency. She's been trying to reach you. So it's like, A, Skinner and Mulder have a fascinating relationship.
Yes.
But, like, B, like, you have called the assistant director of the FBI get Mulder to leave his job and come to the house for a family emergency, and he asks you what's wrong and you respond with a soliloquy.
Yeah. It's so Mulder, like the family name. Oh, his mother
this is peak Mulder.
Yeah, his mother must be fucking exhausted.
I think they're not together anymore, right?
Yeah, this is why. But I just mean, like, growing up with dealing with Mulder.
If I had to deal with Mulder and Mulder's dad, I'd probably fuck the cigarette-smoking man, too.
100%.
Because at least he's, like, mysterious and cool.
Yeah, but at least he also gives straight answers a lot of the time.
Sometimes.
Kind of, yeah. A little bit.
I feel like your sister is alive could have been said over the phone.
Yeah, well, like, they wanted to surprise him. And Mulder...
I guess!
And Mulder is surprised, as evidenced
yeah,
by
he's
his
surprised.
Lack of expression, his blank face.
Oh, Duchovny.
Yeah, I feel like part of that, what's going on in Mulder's head is like, oh, I can't chase and beat up aliens anymore. Like, part of him is, I think, a little sad.
Well, that sort, yeah, it, that does sort of destroy his entire universe.
Yeah, he wanted to find her. He didn't want her to yeah. just show up.
Well, he didn't even just want to find her. He wanted to, like, fucking tear her from the tentacles of a star beast.
Yeah, 100%.
And like a dramatic rescue where he's freeing all the other prisoners of Alpha Centauri or whatever.
Yeah. And then, all right, so Mulder meets his sister. Mulder's mom, he tucks his mom into bed, which is adorable. And his mom...
She's had a day.
Yes, she has. She's had a life.
She's had a life. She will continue to have a life yes. as the series progresses. Yeah. If the things... Woof. All yeah. right.
She asks Mulder if it's really her, if it's really this sister. And Mulder says, I don't see who else it could be. While he's investigating clones and like...
yep.
While he knows aliens and monsters and vampires exist... he's just like, man, I don't know what else it could be. He is just so naive all of a sudden in this episode.
Right, and he's like uniquely confused or confounded or taken aback by the idea of a shapeshifter.
Yeah.
When Samantha tells him, no, this guy can change, he can disguise himself to look like anybody. He can change his shape.
You would think Mulder for this whole episode would just get progressively more excited. Like, and maybe that's what it is. Maybe he's in this weird survival zen mode. Because the moment a guy is just like, so there's clones from Russia, Mulder's just like, okay, all right, great. That's great. That's, I didn't have anything this week. This is fucking fantastic. And his sister yeah. shows up and it's like, okay, so I was raised by aliens. And he's like, uh-huh, yeah, go on.
Well, no. No, I wrote that down.
Oh, okay.
When she says, when she mentions her parents and he's like, who were they? And she says, they were visitors, what you would call aliens. They raised me, although I knew they weren't my parents. But when she tells him that she was raised by aliens, Mulder's face, like, he gets this look on his face and he takes a step back. Like, he looks like a conservative dad that just learned his son was gay.
Because he's racist against aliens. We've talked about this.
He hates aliens.
He was just like, I don't want no dirty alien lover under my roof.
Exactly.
Holy shit.
That's how he reacts.
Yeah, he's betrayed. He's betrayed yeah. because, again, he wanted to save her from the aliens. And it turns out the aliens were just raising her fine. And then when she got hypnosis, was like, I need to go see my family. And the aliens were like, okay, honey, have a great time. Call us if you need anything. Like, this is yeah. The opposite of what Mulder ever wanted. And yeah. And then the shapeshifter. And he's like, the fuck? And that's what yeah. I mean, is that Mulder should have been increasingly more and more excited as this unfolded. He's just oddly trusting. He's learning a lot in this fucking episode, a lot about the world.
I feel like it would have been really easy to kidnap Mulder when he was a child.
Oh, 100%. I think it would be really easy to kidnap Mulder as an adult. I mean,
we've seen it is kind of easy to kidnap Mulder.
The episode Red Museum, the old man parks his car and says, hey, get in. And they get in his car.
They get in.
And then like, they just drive just, with him.
Like, all you have to do is pull up to Mulder and like, say, hey, I'm the sheriff.
Yeah.
Get
or
in.
Like, hey, I'm from the CIA. I'm hunting aliens. Yeah. Would you get in the car?
All you'd have to do is drive up to Mulder's house and say, hey, I'm an astronaut.
Yep.
And he would get into your fucking windowless panel van.
Yep. You just draw, like, paint rocket ship colors on the side.
We're here to take you to NASA for our special astronaut program. Yep. You're going to be an astronaut.
Yep.
You got my lanterns.
He's so gullible in this.
Yeah. There's something I want to talk about. Mulder inadvertently, but by way of action, causes the death of another agent. Agent Weiss goes to a clone's house ahead of them to try to see if the guy's still there, and is killed when he shoots the alien bounty hunter, and his alien blood like gasses him to death. So Mulder gets back and gets grilled by Skinner, who's like, fucking pissed.
Yeah, he's pissed.
He's like, he points out, it's like, have you filed any paperwork? No. Are you on this investigation in any official capacity? Did somebody tell you to do this? He's like, no.
I have this written down as well.
No paperwork, and you're not here officially, and a fucking agent is dead. And when he's on the phone with Scully later, he says Agent Weiss is dead. She's like, what? And he says, somebody killed him and Skinner hit the roof.
Yeah.
Like, it's an unreasonable reaction. Like, he spends most of the episode being, like, going from not giving a shit to being resentful of the fact that Agent Weiss was killed.
He never stops to consider that that man's life is no more.
And when Scully points it out to it later, he's like, that's the risks we take.
Yeah. Oh, my God. I mean, how many times has Mulder sent someone to their death?
It's just, yeah, I know.
Probably a few.
It's echoes of Agent Jerry LaManna.
Yes.
And this, because he just doesn't care that this Mulder's guy is dead.
BFF Agent Jerry LaManna, who dies and Mulder doesn't notice.
Mulder watches video of his death.
Yes, and just doesn't barely.
It doesn't his face doesn't change.
Yeah, he is, again, like a cat. He's like a cat.
Mm-hmm.
I have one final thing I want to talk about. I'm just skipping through my notes to make sure I didn't skip because we've been going around. This, I think, is a small line that I think says a lot.
I wonder if it's the same one I wrote down. Go ahead.
Okay. So Mulder finds out that his sister is there and that there's clones and that the bounty hunter can look like anybody. So he calls Scully. And he gets her answering machine, and he says, "Scully, stop screening your calls and pick up." That's what I want to talk about.
Well, at first he says, "Scully, it's Mulder."
Scully,
pick up.
It's Mulder, pick up.
And then he says, "Scully, if you're screening your calls, pick up."
Right.
Which means that in the past,
yes,
she has screened her calls to not talk to him.
100%. I think what's happened is that Scully has told Mulder that she screens her calls. For everybody, and that's a lie. I think she screens her calls specifically because Mulder calls her at 10 o'clock at night while she's trying to settle in and watch a movie or something, and he
just ate a bunch of speed.
Yeah, and he's got some goo he found and he wants her to drive to work and fucking look at this goo that he found, like, I don't know, in an alley, like, well, Scully does this.
Or he just calls her up with something like, "Scully, do you think aliens can breathe underwater?"
Exactly. And so, or he calls her and says, "I need $500 and to be bailed out."
Yeah, I need to be bailed. Like, he's in jail in Arizona.
Yeah.
He needs to be bailed out.
She has, at this point, bailed him out, I don't know, three times?
A few times that we've seen.
Yeah. So, yeah, I think, I'm starting to think, like, yeah, I think Scully, like, goes to lunch with Skinner and Mulder has no idea. Like, I feel like these people are all hanging out without Mulder.
Yeah.
Like, if there's a group of friends in the FBI, Mulder is not a part of that group.
Oh, God, no.
And Scully doesn't want to hurt Mulder's feelings, but,
Mulder his feelings wouldn't be hurt by not being invited to the group. He would just he would get jealous that he doesn't have Scully's full attention.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, we'll get to that episode, the Christmas episode with the ghosts.
Yeah.
Or Mulder steals her keys.
Yep.
Yeah. Or I guess you could argue ghosts do, but we'll get into it.
Why on earth does Mulder call the hotel before calling Scully's cell?
Yeah.
He calls the hotel first to leave a message and then calls her cell phone. Maybe it's a 1995 thing, but it's like...
That's a weird one. Yeah, maybe he's like, it costs a lot to call. I don't want to use up her minutes or whatever. Her FBI minutes.
I think it's another screening your phone calls thing.
You're right. Oh, my God. Where he's like, if I call, she never picks up her cell phone.
She never picks up when I call her cell.
I don't know why. She's such a flake. She never picks
like,
it up.
Oh, Mulder, I usually forget to leave my phone on, or I forget it in the car. Yeah. No, she doesn't.
Scully is...
She just doesn't answer when you call.
Scully's
Mulder.
Call history is depressing.
Oh.
It's just a bunch of missed calls from Mulder.
Yeah.
At all
it's
hours.
Perpetually. Paid. You have to scroll for like minutes to get past
100%.
All the Mulder calls.
The
very last thing I had is in the beginning of the episode, Scully walks into Mulder's office and he's bent over a table looking at a bunch of files and shit. And he says, "Oh yeah, I was looking for you."
No, he wasn't.
Right, as he is bent over his table, absolutely not looking for Scully.
I think this is, I think Mulder was looking for Scully. I think what happened is Mulder got up at 3 a.m. after taking a quick 1 hour nap.
He's been up for 9 hours at this point.
He drove to the FBI. He made some coffee and he thought, oh, Scully should be here by now. It is now 5:30 in the morning and Mulder is wandering the halls of the FBI.
Just looking for her.
And then he goes downstairs and he sees that his desk is messy and he goes to start cleaning it. And then he sees on his desk like a photograph that like maybe could be a UFO in the background. He's not sure. So he starts going through all his other files to see, like, he's like, oh, that reminds me of another photograph. And then when he's going through his files, he finds, like, an old case. And he's like, how did this end anyway? And he starts reading that. And he's like, oh, shit, I think I have more cases like that. And he starts going through that. And 4 hours pass. And then Scully walks in and he goes, Scully, I was just looking for you. I think that's what it is.
To unpack that even more, when she walks in and he says, Scully, I was looking for you. And then she says something about somebody shooting at the White House. He's like, well, I got something to show you. He walks from the table over to the computer to show her the emails that he's gotten that are the impetus for this case.
Right.
So that means whatever he was doing at the table has nothing to do with these emails.
Oh, yeah, 100%. He got distracted. He got distracted. He forgot where he was.
What a fascinating chamber of horrors that man lives in.
Oh, 100%. His brain is a mystery. Like that movie The Cell. If you went into had the celled Mulder's brain, it would just be a fucking mess. It would be the movie Labyrinth in there.
Yeah.
It's filled with Muppets. Yeah. That's all I have for Mulder After Dark.
Same.
All right, well, let's move on to Fireball Offenses.
He gets an agent killed with no paperwork and no.
Yes. Here's the.
An agent dies running an errand for him and he didn't. There's no paperwork. There's no official record of what happened there whatsoever.
Yeah. There's a very key line in this because Skinner says to Mulder, like, yeah, you got this guy killed. There's no paperwork. To which Mulder responds, and I wrote it down, I assumed. We had an understanding with respect to the X-Files, to which Skinner should have responded, wait, what? What do you mean? And Mulder would have clarified, yeah, I assumed that you didn't need paperwork for any of the X-Files, to which Skinner should have said, no, I totally need paper. Have you not been filing any paperwork, Mulder? No paper? What are your files like? And then Mulder would have been fired because... Yeah, he assumed that Skinner didn't need paperwork on the X-Files. That's what he's saying there. And Skinner blows right past that.
Yeah, he sure does.
This should have been a conversation that should have led to his dismissal. Like many moments in this show. If first times didn't realize this is where we go through all the times he should have been fired. That's kind of the main one, is that he gets an agent killed, gets confronted about it, and then reveals that he's not doing any paperwork ever. I think Skinner's protecting him at this point for sure. Can you imagine having to protect, like, can you imagine believing in what Mulder is doing and that it's very important?
No, I can't.
But, well, like... imagine it's like having to vote for Biden. It's like, oh, I do need this person to succeed, but boy, do I not want to deal
but
with this
boy,
person.
Is this a chore?
Yeah, it's that.
This is a real chore.
Mulder is like, Skinner's just like, I believe in the cause, but if at any point he did a job interview with a guy who was also believed in all the stuff Mulder believed in, but also did paperwork and showed up on time, Mulder would be fired in a second. Like, that's what it is that Mulder's a terrible employee.
Yeah.
But Skinner has no choice. And I think that, do you have any other fireball offenses?
No, that was that. It's pretty much that one.
All right. Well, that brings us to Name the Enabler.
It sure does. And I guess it's the little clone guys.
Yeah. The little clone guys skin her a bit because of that last scene.
And the alien bounty hunter.
Yeah. I'm going to throw out one more person. His father. Because.
True. Because his dad has to know these are clones.
Exactly. We don't. It's, like, it's not.
We don't know this now.
We don't know this
now.
But a clone showed up at the father's doorstep. The father is in the shadow government and knows. And so he clearly, like, what probably happened is the clone walked past him to his, to, oh no, 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 no. Cause he came over, right?
No, Samantha comes to the house.
Right, right. But I mean, then the father, then Mulder's father shows up because they're divorced.
Yes.
So he showed up and it was too late. Like, he, if she had showed up at his door, he would have let her in and quietly shot her.
Yes.
But instead, he's just like, ah, oh, shit. She's talking to my wife.
Shit. She went to the, and that's probably why she went to the mom and not to Bill Mulder.
Yeah. So Mulder is just.
Because Bill Mulder knows that he gave his daughter to the aliens to make human human alien hybrids.
He 100%
knows. This is not her.
This is like a Seinfeld episode for him.
Yeah.
Like it's Mulder going like, Dad, can you believe it? Samantha's back. And he's like, yeah. It's real great. Great stuff. You know, like he is 100% enabling Mulder by omitting a lot of very, very important things. And you could argue that he enables his son for his whole life.
On a perpetual basis, yes.
Yeah, so it's kind of a lot of everybody in this one.
A lot of hats getting tossed into this...
This
spiral, this downward spiral.
Yeah. And on that subject, I think we're time to go. It's time to move
crazy
on.
Crazy like a fox.
Yeah, crazy like a fox. This is where
we. Oh, go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say what you were going to say. You want to say it at the same time?
No, I'll say
it. Okay, you say it.
This is where we assign a numerical rating between 1 and 10 to rank exactly how crazy Mulder behaves in the episode. 1 being 0. Cars that he sees and walks in front of, and 10 being 10 cars that he gets hit by, even though he makes direct eye contact with the driver as he steps out into the street.
We have hit. Have we hit a 10 yet?
We have hit a 10.
Okay.
Well, gondola theft.
Oh, gondola theft. Yeah, that was Ascension. For people who aren't a Patreon subscriber, that was back when Scully was abducted. Mulder robs. He steals a gondola at gunpoint.
Yeah, among other things. Yeah. It's a real wild ride, that episode.
It's a hell of a thing. But yeah, lately it's been pretty low.
Yeah, it's been kind of on the low.
The last one, Fresh Bones, got a 3. So what would you say for this one?
For this one, maybe a 4.
A 4, eh?
Mm-hmm. What were you thinking?
I was going to throw out a 5, but I see your 4 point. Because in terms of stuff he does, it's mostly that he's, again, like a cat. He's got like weird ADD where he can't focus and he's just running around and believing anything. So
right, he runs into traffic that he sees and he gets an agent killed and doesn't care.
Yeah, I guess that's a 4, which for people, again, not used to the podcast... I hope it's shocking that that's only a 4.
Yeah, it might. Yeah, I think it's a 4. We didn't give him higher for losing what was probably a live child in the ocean.
Yeah, that's true. The previous fours have been like Firewalker was a 4. Yeah. One Breath was a 4. Blood was a 4. The Host was a 4. These all seem like proper forms 4s. Tombs was a 4. We've given a lot of 4s. Roland,
a lot of fours.
Lazarus, Deep Throat, Conduit. These are all 4s.
Cool.
And this also feels like it belongs in the 4 category, in the 4 family.
I think it's a 4.
Okay. Yeah, I feel good about that. I think so. Yeah, I feel like we've accomplished stuff today.
I feel like we really got something done.
Yeah, we explored not only Mulder, but a a bounty hunter, a wayward bounty hunter.
Yeah.
Who I'm very excited to, you know, to know where that heads. We should probably mention what the cliffhanger is. The cliffhanger is that Mulder walks in on the Scully in the hotel room.
Scully, yep.
And is like, Scully, look at me, I'm Mulder. That's the exact line. And
Yep, verbatim.
Yep, and then Scully gets a phone call, and he's like, hi, it's Mulder. And so she's seeing Mulder and hearing Mulder, and then it says, to be continued. And you know that one of them is the bounty hunter. Personally, if I was Scully, I would just assume there was some asshole doing a Mulder voice. I'd be like, I'd assume it was one of the lone gunmen, like, teasing me.
Yeah.
Right?
That seems accurate. Yeah, it seems like they would have recorded his voice.
Yeah. Oh, 100%. They record everybody's voice.
Yeah.
So, like, it's not that much of a shock. If you don't know clones are, or doppelgangers are happening or shapeshifters, then I would just be like, oh, yeah, good. All right, Skinner.
Yeah,
good
nice
Mulder
bit,
voice.
Nice bit.
Yeah, Skinner's probably been doing Mulder voices for months now.
Oh, he's been perfecting it at, like, open mics.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I wish Skinner had a failed stand-up career we didn't know about.
He might. We don't know.
That'd be amazing. What would that even be? It would just be, like, really a real bummer, because he'd start to tell a joke, and then he'd just start talking about Mulder and punch the wall.
No, he'd start talking about Vietnam. Every set of his ends with him weeping.
Yep. Skinner's got a dark fucking life.
He sure does.
We're
going
to get to it. We're going to get into a little Skinner After Dark in one of these episodes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're going to skin that skin that flute.
Yeah.
Yep, there you go. I said it.
That's gross.
Skin man.
So yeah, thanks for, guys, thanks for listening.
Oh, thank you so much for listening.
This is normally a Patreon exclusive, so if you're into what you just listened to and you want to hear more, go to...
And obviously you are, right? You clearly...
Yeah, you're into us. You got this. Mm-hmm. You made it this far.
You made it this far, so...
Yeah, go to patreon.com. Patreon.com/gamefullyunemployed. We have another exclusive podcast called Tom and Jeff Watch Batman, which is kind of like this, but Batman.
Yeah, it's me and Jeff May talking about Batman in a similar context.
Yeah, and we have... other tiers where, like, you can make us, you can produce your own podcast series with us if you want. You can make us watch any movie you so choose, or you can just watch movies with us every Friday night. We host a movie watching night where we just watch whatever we feel like, really.
Yeah, really. Sometimes we put it to a vote, but really it's the tyranny of us usually takes over. And we also got a store, tpublic.com/store/gamefullyunemployed, where you can check out shirts and stickers and posters and shit. We've got a glorious Mulder poster drawn by Starlene Hodge.
Yes, check out that Mulder poster. It's also in t-shirt form.
Yeah, you can get it on any, you get any of the images on anything. You can get prints of anything, I think.
Yeah, I believe so.
It's just the Mulder image looks particularly good as a print.
I have the print, and it makes me feel like a real classy guy.
It, you know, it's a very classy print. It's all framed and shit.
It's all framed and shit, and
it's real high society.
I have it in a well-lit part of my apartment, so it's, like, dim. Like, I gotta start smoking a cigar near it. Not a cigar, pipe. I gotta start smoking a pipe.
Yeah. Well, yeah, obviously.
Yeah.
Cigars are the pipes of England.
Also, you can put anything in a pipe, you know?
That's true.
You can...
pipes are the cigars of England. That's what I meant to say. Pipes are what... he would have been smoking when he got finger blasted in the a-hole on Sir Arthur Conan Doyle's grave.
Uh-huh. I was about to say, Mulder 100% smoked a pipe in college. He was that fucking dipshit. Who like the kind of guy who you'd never want to take a philosophy class with, who then you'd see on the quad smoking a pipe and reading a book and pretending like he doesn't want to be noticed. That's fucking Mulder.
He wore leather shoes with no socks.
Oh, 100%. Oh, God damn it.
Yeah, he was a real asshole.
Artwork for Fox Mulder's A Maniac is produced by Starlene Hodge. Follow her on Twitter at StarleneX, that's Starlene with an X, or check out her delightful webcomic at rubywhipple.com.